So we're going to look at Lamed this week, which is well known. And actually, you know, and I think Nathan said we say it every day in davening. So I'm just going to give you the hishtalshelus, the history of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zeh Bayis HaDavid as part of davening. Let's see. Anyone daven the Nesach Sfard? No? Are you davening the Nesach Sfard Shul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Okay. You'd have to be really attentive to pick up this one. Where does Nusach Ashkenaz say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zeh Bayis HaDavid? And where does Nusach Sfard say it?
After Hodu.
Okay, so that's right. They're very good, very good. So the point is like this. The Makor of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zeh Bayis HaDavid being, quote, part of davening is from the what are called Gurei Ari, from Talmidei Ari, and it's quotes a skula, assistance for having kavana and psukah d'zimra. Real psukah d'zimra always starts after Baruch Sha'amar, so that's why whichever nusach a person davens, it's said immediately before Baruch Sha'amar. We lost our proper Yaakov. Nasi.
Right.
He was a very, very proper Yaakov. Proper Yaakov's, proper Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zeh Bayis HaDavid because it's an innovation. It's new. It's true, it is new. It's only 400 years old. Okay, I don't know if we're going to get quite that far in the Jewish history. Just to blurb it out at you, very few Kehilas and Ashkenaz were continuous from before 1600, for the records. Whatever. I'm not now.
What was it? What did you say?
The proper Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't have Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zeh Bayis HaDavid. If you daven in a Yakesh Hashul, they won't say it. And the Gaon also didn't say it. The Gaon didn't say it for a different reason. The Gaon didn't say it because he held that Baruch Sha'amar is a mizmor, is said before one says any shvach, before one says any praise to Hashem in form of mizmorim. So therefore, the Gaon says that you should not say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zeh Bayis HaDavid because it is shvach. You shouldn't say that until you say Baruch Sha'amar. So because the whole reason is to assist you in Baruch Sha'amar, etc., that's the whole reason of Pi Kabbalah, therefore the Gaon says not to say it. Okay. That's the history of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zeh Bayis HaDavid in terms of davening. Okay. The basic pshat question we have to ask, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zeh Bayis HaDavid is what bias? Beis HaMikdash. That is the mainline approach. There's really only two options. There's two options. Bias could either mean Beis HaMikdash, or bias could mean his palace. There's really three questions. Now that we got that one done, we have to decide what bias means. Most to learn, again, the bias means Beis HaMikdash. Ibn Ezra does want to learn, it means David's palace. I didn't really note that Rashi and the Red Doc directly address why not to learn that way. And there's very substantial reason not to learn like the Ibn Ezra.
Palace.
To learn it means palace.
How did he inaugurate
the Say again?
How did he inaugurate the Beis
HaMikdash? That's the next question. The problem is like this, though. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zeh Bayis HaDavid, the reason why Ibn Ezra wants to say bias means palace is because if it's the Beis HaMikdash, it should be Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zeh Bayis HaShlomo, similar to Ayin Aleph, Ayin Beis, which is instructions to Shlomo and entitled Shlomo, and similar to Kuf Chav Zayin, I believe. Wait a second. Kuf Chav Zayin is Shir Amos Lishlomo Im Hashem Lo Yivne Bayis Shav Amlav Banavo. Right? So when David wanted to address Shlomo about the bias, he addresses him explicitly. So why, therefore, is this Mizmor, Mizmor Shirachana Kasabayas, le David? Mizmor Shirachana Kasabayas, leave out David. Mizmor Shirachana Kasabayas, le Shlomo, that's fine. Mizmor Shirachana Kasabayas, le David, why? Why? Okay, well, we're clear. Now, the other problem, which, you know, though we say it daily in davening, I'm really relatively sure that most people don't know what they're saying. And it's definitely a skula.
You know. A skula?
Kila, not as I said, Dari said it's a skula for having being mechaven properly in Baruch Sha'omar, Shukat HaZimmer. So, you know, school is traditionally speaking, I mean, you don't know what you're doing, you just hope it's magic and works. That's not really what a school is, but I'm like making a joke as a, if you understand what I mean. So if you don't understand it, then if it works, it's a school. So, yeah, I don't know. Okay, Tov. What's the Guf HaMizmor? What's the body of this Mizmor speak about? What does the body of the Mizmor speak about? So the body of the Mizmor speaks about David's difficulties and Nisyonos and Hashem answering David's tefillos. That's what the body of the Mizmor speaks about. And that is definitely, without question, why Rashi and the Radak basically don't even bother trying, they don't even bother deflecting. I mean, with Rashi, it's slightly less of a Chiddush than the Radak. The Radak does bring, at least in the real Radak, that means the one over here, he'll bring in the Ma'or. He does bring other people's Perushim. And says why he doesn't like them. He does it many times. Over here, he doesn't even bother bringing the Ben Ezra and doesn't bother saying my Adonai doesn't like it. And I think it's readily apparent that according to the Ben Ezra, you're going to have to make up a whole like long story with no substance to it in Tanakh, besides this Mizmor. In other words, you have to make up a whole story about David having a lot of problems and somehow or another connecting that to him building his house. And if you look at the story in Shmuel Beis, it doesn't sound like there was any major difficulties for David when he built his house. So it's really well understood why Rashi and the Radak don't even bother entertaining the Ben Ezra as a real possibility, because it's impossible to disprove something like that. But it's really quite lacking substance.
Mean palaces literally, or does he mean palaces in like his monarchy kingdom?
That's an interesting. It's an interesting way to try to be miyashiv the Ibn Ezra. Let me just. I don't.
Because there's something difficult is there.
Just wait a second.
By this David.
No, he says it explicitly. V'karav of like he said, Mizmor Chibra b'Chanukas Beis of Beis Arazim. When he built that, when the house was built, the one built out of cedars. And that does not. That's not. It's not a metaphorical. That's not a metaphorical or allegory for his base of malchus. Okay. Okay. Now we're going to start here. We're going to go slightly out of order, which means I'm going to start with the Radak and go back to Rashi. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as the Ramban says about Rashi.
First.
Well, Mishpat HaBukhara. To him is the rights of the firstborn. So it's better, really, Kilo, you should start with Rashi and then go on to the Radak. However, over here, I'm going to go out of order. Because they talk about, they explain their reasonings, and the Radak explains on the first pasuk and Rashi on the second. So therefore, I'm going to go out of order. And the Radak here is a very fascinating Radak. One, a very key Radak, for one of the, major questions in Sefer Shmuel. And one of the biggest questions in Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, in the beginning of Moachim, is at what point was it public knowledge that Shmuel anointed David as king? When was that a piece of knowledge? That is so you don't understand. It's like a really technical like question. There's no I don't know. This Radak is the only piece of absolute proof I have. Besides this, I have a lot of circumstantial evidence. In other words, the story doesn't make that much sense unless if you say this or you say that, you say one side or the other. But this is the most this is the only like absolute proof. The Radak says that The Radak says that people didn't believe that the Shlomo, who was born from Bashava, and you know, I thought he knew.
Is it controversial because of the fact that the way he's portrayed, literally speaking, just in the Tanakh?
Well, that's why he's controversial today. But he was always controversial in those times also, and it's for the same reason. I mean, okay, it was quieted down. That's the point. Yeah, just wait a second. Whatever. The base of the Shlomo Melech couldn't. They thought Shlomo Melech couldn't be the person who builds the base of Mikdash because he's conceived in sin, and base of Mikdash is intolerant of any type of chet, anything. They thought it was impossible. Not possible. This is the guy who's going to build the base of Mikdash. Mamish, not possible. So the Radak says that's why Adonia rebelled. And that's why people supported him. Beginning in Melachim Av. That's why people supported Adonia. Because people didn't think it's not possible. And after that rebellion was put down, and everyone saw that Shlomo was going to be king, then everyone realized that, even if they didn't understand how it could have been kosher, they understood that it must be that David was right. David was really innocent. And they came to recognize. They came to recognize either, I don't know if the prophecy was publicized, or it merely was understood that the prophecy was understood by everyone that it's going to happen at this point, at the point when Shlomo becomes king. That's what the Red Dog says. Okay. Now. The logic of the Radak is very strong, and it's in a certain sense hard to understand how you could argue with it, but you could definitely argue with it. In other words, that if David is pasul, if David was invalidated for binyan abayis because of the ma'aseh b'hashava, then by definition Shlomo was also going to be invalidated.
I thought he was invalidated because of his
bloody
military activity. No. There's two things. That's what Hashem told. You're like mixing up two things. That's what Hashem told them. I'm not talking about. That's such a complicated problem. Don't start up on that one right now. That's a very complicated problem. But no. I'm talking about the public perception. Public perception that David was invalidated for binyan abayis. As a result of the Ma'aseh of Hasheva, Kol Shekein by definition invalidates Shlomo. Shlomo can't, because again, the Beis Hamikdash, you hear with me, Josh? The Beis Hamikdash, by definition, being absolutely intolerant of the least and the smallest amount of imperfection, it can't tolerate this person who's created, who is ki'ilu, part of his creation is in the, ki'ilu, the epitome of imperfection.
So now
at the point where it's clear that Shlomo is going to be the next king, and he's going to build the Beis Hamikdash, then everyone should agree. It should be very clear. I mean, okay, could be they weren't sure if they were really. I'm not sure. You know what? I actually, there's a way to answer it. Yeah.
I'm just going to say, retrospectively speaking, isn't it clear that the Beis Hamikdash can tolerate impurity?
What do you mean by that? It's not really true. That's why there was a churban.
Right, but I'm saying before the churban there were I don't know.
There's, you're asking that's like Josh. That's
the lightning bolt is my point. Okay,
that's a big sugya. I hold that's the biggest sugya in Tanakh, the most fundamental sugya in Tanakh, which is called the sugya of Shechina, and understanding Shechina as best as we can, of course. I'm pretty confident that was known. I'm pretty confident that was known. And we're going to go on to Rashi. We're going to go on to Rashi, and from Rashi, we'll talk about it a little more. And then we'll go on to the Mizmah. I praise you because you have raised me up, and my enemies are not happy over me. Rashi says, Vos simachto oivari kma orai. Me means about me. Shahayu omrim, ein lo David chel kohom haba. They said David does not have a portion in Olam Haba. And when they saw that because of him, the doors were opened up for the Aron, then they knew that Hashem forgave him for that sin. It means Bathsheba. And the faces of the enemies of David turned black, like the bottom of a pot. Okay, Rashi, it's a really gemara in about three places, maybe it's even five. Rashi is quoting a Chazal, more or less. Chazal say that when did everyone see it? Everyone only saw it when Shlomo Melech wanted to put the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now I'm combining and synopsizing. What happened was Shlomo Melech, they made the whole procession, of course. They were sacrificing all over the place. Shlomo Melech puts the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there was an immense showing of Simone Shechina, which are Anun and Arafel, which are clouds and fogs. Immense, so much it says the Kahanim couldn't do the Avodah. They couldn't do the Avodah. Now, it's really only Merumas. It's only hinted, but it's hinted in the Pesukim that the only way Shlomo was able to put the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's what causes Shechina. That's the Ramban in this week's, past week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma. First Ramban in the Parsha. The cause of Shechina, Ki'ilu, is the Aron. That's the cause of Shechina. So when Shlomo put the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's when the Shechina happened, and he was only able to do it by mentioning Schusei David. There's two places where that's hinted to. One place is in Divrei Yamim, when it says over the story, he ends off the tefillah, his tefillahs, with Zachar Chasdei David Namanim. Remember the truthful acts of great of loving kindness of David. And in Melachim, when they finish the whole story off, it says everyone was very happy, Al HaTov, on the good that Hashem did to the Jews and to David. And like to say it in a Gemara style fashion, David Mamdach HaShmaya. Like David, David is no longer, he was Nipter 12 years earlier. So what exactly is he being mentioned by the Chunukah Zabayis? Or what's the Shaykhus? So she says, everyone went home, and they saw how good it was to the Jews, to Am Hashem, to the Jews, and to David. David? So, Chazal understand that everyone thought, until that point, everyone thought David, there was something wrong with what David did, with Bathsheba. However, after they saw that the Shechina only came because David, then everyone saw that if the Shechina is only coming because David, then he's certainly innocent. Now, I just wait a second. Let me know. Now, so the reason. Now, I would say that the why does Rashi disagree with the Radak? The Radak says logically everyone should have seen it once Shlomo becomes king. So I would say Jews are cynical, and they said, okay, he's king. So let's see. Let him build a base of Mikdash, and let's see what's going to happen. He tries like it says in Kuf Chav Zayin. If Hashem doesn't help you build a house, it's not going to work. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu, when they were mechanech the Mishkan, and you have to keep your eye open, I know most people die out in Chumash Rashi, they die out around now, Truma Tetzaveh, like knocks most people out, like, they're like knocked out, and they don't resurface until Bamidbar. That's like most people in the world. So if you keep your eyes open in Parshas Tzav and Shmini, you'll see it wasn't so simple to get the Shechina into the Mishkan. It wasn't simple to get the Shechina into the Mishkan. So they said, okay, very good. Build your house as much as you want. It wasn't easy for Moshe Aaron, Bezalel to make Bezalel and Uri. They tried, and it wasn't easy, and they needed a lot of tefillah and a lot of work to make it work. You want to do it? Try. So then when they saw, then when they finally saw that the only reason they're sharing their bias was because of David, they said, he must be innocent. Because if not, it wasn't just must be innocent. He must have a tremendous chus, because if not, the Shekhinah wouldn't have come in. Okay. Hashem Alakai Shiv Shivati Lach of Tirpaini. Okay, the first part, these two psukim are like David's looking back and reflecting over the, you know, retrospectively over the how Hashem interacted with him in the Chet Bat Shem.
So this is definitely David.
This is definitely David. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. I mean, it says it. You know, it's not. I know it doesn't take much.
Right. But I mean, just because of the fact that there's questions by elsewhere, it's, I don't know if it was brought down here possibly.
There are whatever. We'll get. I don't know. The Mizmorim not written to David are not you. The first sefer, I think every Mizmor, there are what are called Yasmim. There are unsigned Mizmorim. Maybe we'll see one of those next week. But it's either signed or unsigned. Renu Tzadikim Vashem Lashem Navasihiva is unsigned. But they're either unsigned, anonymous, or signed by David. The first ones signed by somebody else are in the second sefer. The second and third sefer have a lot of mizmorim by other people.
So when did this one become known? Meaning if it was before the basic edition was actually.
Okay, when was this one? So you're asking good. So he writes it. Yeah, well, he wrote it, and you know what? He wrote it. Ruach HaKadosh by definition is sort of prophecy. It's the difference. Ruach HaKadosh has prophetic elements to it. In other words, the element of being able to predict the future does exist in Ruach HaKadosh. The main difference is the quantitative effect on the Baal Ruach HaKadosh. I'm basically clear? That's the main effect, the main difference. So, again, it's like Menachem said, David said it, but no one believed him. The son of David... that's a different question. Here, we have to ask a question. Let's ask it more professionally. At what point was Tehillim known to everybody? That's the way to ask the question. And the real way to ask the question is with an Ayin Gimel. We have to finish this mizmor, but I'll tell you, come to me right after Myrav, and I'll show you. We see Ayin Gimel, and you'll want to know. You can ask so many, whatever. Ayin Gimel is like, That's how explosive Ayin Gimel is. I mean, Ayin Gimel feels like...
Mushroom cloud explosive?
What?
Mushroom cloud explosive?
I think it's like palm tree cloud.
Serious. I'm not sure. Is it atomic? That's an old friend of mine, Menachem Gold. You know, you guys know Menachem Gold? Rabbi Menachem Gold? You know Rabbi Gold from Rabbi Shalom Gold from Har Nof? You've heard of Rabbi Shalom Gold from Har Nof? No, you haven't. Okay. He has a kollel in Afula. Rabbi Menachem Gold. He's a big character, Menachem. As Menachem called really good, like, you know, like, there's a good kasha, there's a bomb kasha. But an unbelievable kasha he would call atomic. Yeah. Right. is reflecting retrospectively over the mizmor, over the Chet Bashava. So the first thing, he's looking back, says, you see that Hashem picked me up. My enemies weren't able to be happy over me. Hashem, Alkai Shivat Lach, and I prayed to you, Hashem, and you answered me. And, you know, continuing on his you know, reflectiveness, Hashem, Halis Min Shal Nafshi, Chisanim Yarevor, you took my soul up from Sha'ol. Sha'ol literally means the grave, but it means also Gehenim. You have given me life, and I'm not going to be together with the people who go down to the pit. It means don't go down and don't come back up. Now he goes on and says, and this we find a number of places, not only once, we find a number of places. Zamru Hashem Chasidav Zecher Kodesh. The David's saying there's a lesson from what happened to him for everyone else. There's a lesson, and this there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which is I sort of understood that rabbis Ifra and Shamua were arguing about. It's one of these Gemaras which are not simple, and I'm going to be'erich approximate the Gemara right now for you. The Gemara says that ki'ilu, and I'm like I haven't been through this Gemara seriously in at least 6 years. But it's one of these Gemaras again that the Gemara approximately says that David Ke'ilu shouldn't have done the Chet Basheva, and the only reason he did it was to teach everyone how to do tshuva. And I already said that I know that's a Gemara which needs very careful analysis of, and I understand that, and I'm not holding the sugya right now, so I don't really want to talk about it. This is one of these Gemaras that you mustn't take out of context of the rest of Torah. I mean, whatever. I don't like dangling things all over the place here. But you understand, a Gemara like that, you can't take a Chazal like that and take it out of context of the rest of Torah. Because you can't. But you still have to know what Chazal mean, I don't want to get bogged down in it. But the place where Chazal, the basic idea of Chazal, that the episode of Dav Basheva, a main part of the episode was to be a Malamed Tshuva, was to teach Tshuva, that you see over here in this Mizmah. He said, David says, the Chassidim, people who really want to be of the Hashem, they have to thank Hashem. They have to sing to Hashem. And they have to thank Him. You know why? Okay, this is the same idea 3 or 4 times. A moment in his anger, life with his ratzon. Because you saw David, if his tshuva would not have been miskabel, he would not have been accepted. He would have been pushed off completely. Ki rega ba'apo, a moment in his anger, chayim b'ratzon. Be'erev yavlin bechi, at night David was crying, v'rabok arina. When Hashem answered his tefillah, he was rabok arina. Between what? Balch and Rina. Balch means cry, and Rina is joy. It's a duet of the same idea said in slightly different ways. So the Malbim likes to try to make a whole massive theory over all these things, and he's not. I'm not against it. Chas v'shalom. It would take me a lot of work. See, I like to work with the Rishonim. Take me an immense amount of work to decide what the Rishonim and what the Chazal's mashma. So I'm just leaving it like he or the Rishonim, that it is emphasis on the same idea. Okay. Now he goes back. Vani amarti b'shalvi bal emet la'olam. I said, now he's going back to before. Now there's the first part of the Mizmor is David saying, post chet, looking back at the results of the chet. That's the first half of the Mizmor. The second half, starting, it's also reflective, but now he's going before the whole thing. And looking back, now that the whole thing happened, now as my mother says, this old American phrase, hindsight is 20/20. So now that you finished something, you can come to real conclusions. Vani amarti v'shalvi, I said at the time of my peace, in the time of my, when everything was going smooth, bal emet la'olam. I don't think I could ever fall. So as far as I know, Chazal don't bring this. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Kuv Zayin, la'olam al yivakesh adam nisayon. A person should never ask Hashem for a test. Because David Melech Yisrael was mivakesh nisayon, and look what happened to him. And as far as I know, they're not masmech. Chazal don't put that idea together with this pasuk, but that's more like what this pasuk is saying. Vani amarti b'shalvi bal emot. Vani amarti b'shalvi bal emot. Before the whole thing happened, David thought it's impossible. And if you know Sefer Shmuel, David thought. The Gemara goes like this. David says to Hashem, "Elkei Avram, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov. Why not Elkei David?" Okay? Hashem says back, they had Nisyanos, you didn't have Nisyanos. David says, so give me Nisyan. It's implicit in the Gemara that David thought he had Nisyanos. And the reason he thought he had Nisyanos is go look at Sefer Shmuel, at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, known as Shmuel Aleph. And you see that it looks like David had Nisyanos. That's Vani Amarti B'Shal Baal Ma'olam. Okay, the answer, I guess, should I answer that? I'll answer that quickly. The answer is, briefly, that the Nisyanos the Avos had were not just difficulties. they were ki'ilu, all the kochos of ra, all the kochos of evil coming against a person. We have to go on. Well, we have to finish the mizmor. That's like a sheer bifnei asmo practically, so we have to go on. Okay. Hashem b'rtzoncha maratu hari. Now he's kind of saying his conclusions. Hashem, I know b'rtzoncha, it's only with your ratzon, only with your will, hamaratu lahari oz, that I was able to raise up my mountain of power. He starts a chonecha hisinivha. When you hid your face from me, I was very embarrassed. So, here. Shmuel Beis, it says, David, why did David ask him to sell you? Because Hashem told him, Hashem ki'ilu let him onto it. He said to him, David wants to build the Beis HaMikdash, Nasan David comes and tells him, don't build it. Ram Shafakta, that's also complications, but don't build it, you can't build it. But he says, don't worry, your son's going to build it. And I'm going to make you a great name, like the name of the great ones in the world. Anyone? Arve Pesachim, anyone? No? How far? Deep. Kuf Yud Zayin, no one got that far yet, right? Okay. If you get to Kuf Yud Zayin, so you see over there, Chazal over there say, the Pasuk says, I'll make you a great name, like the name of the great ones in the world. It means like the Avos. And that's why, when we say a Haftarah, what do we say? Baruch Atah Hashem. Every Haftarah, Magid David. Magid David. So David thought that he's really there. Hashem Ritzoncha Hamadat Gahari Oz. David says afterwards, in other words, he thought that's a real accomplishment. To reach a point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells a person, you're permanently part of Judaism, of Torah, and there's a bracha, a chesimus bracha, you're so much a part, Mug and David, almost like the Amos, close, one step away. That's a real accomplishment. David sees afterwards, it was only because he had the Ratzon Hashem, he had the Pnei Hashem. Hashem, Ritzoncha, my entire accomplishment of Hari Oz is only because of your Ratzon. Okay. Start from Menachem Ha'isin Nivol. So now he goes back to his tefillos. Elach Hashem Ekrav Alachal Hashem Eschanon. He had to daven because Hashem hid his face. He had to daven, and he had to say Mabetza B'dam Yirid Al Shachas. What profit is there with my death, with my blood, if I go down to the nut to destruction? Hayodcha Ofar Hayagvei Mitacha. Well, can the dust praise you? Can it tell your truths? Again, Shema Hashem, can Hashem listen to David and gave him chayin, and gave him what kind, you know, gave him a present. Ki'ilu Hashem he helped him. Hafakti mistu b'malchuli, he turned his misbeid, his eulogy, into a song. Pitach nasaki v'tazrin simcha. Because again, after David failed. There's not quite enough time to do this, but okay. I'll say if someone wants to. After David was not Amid Nisayon properly, there was a point where he thought he was going to be completely gone. There was a point where he thought he's completely gone. So that is Hafakta Mispul Machali. It was a misbeh. It was a point where he thought he was going to be just a eulogy. And it turned into the greatest. And as a result of this, David's able to praise Hashem in an honorable way forever and never be quiet. Hashem, he always is able to praise Hashem. And that probably means through Tehillim, that, you know, as it says in a couple of places, briefly, that all the Mizmarim which are said in the Beis HaMikdash and can constitute the main body of Tefillah, are all from, through, and associated with David. Okay, yes.